So we're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're about to start the sugya of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak with regard to Sukkah. So if you take a look on the Daf, it's hard to say exactly how many. It's like sort of one third or more down from the top, and the first. I'd say about 20 lines down from the top, just to be mishayer. The first word in the line is simana ba'alma, if you see such a line. Now let's just go over the last thing that we said. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak introduces an alternative explanation of our Mishnah, alternative to Rav. Whereas Rav understood that our Mishnah is based on an analogy between Pesach Mavui and Pesach Heichal, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Pesach Heichal. And we mentioned two Nafgiminis. But before that, let's just review. So what is the halacha of Pesach with regard to a Mavui? What is the push? What is the criterion for determining whether this Mavui lends itself to tikkun mavui or does not? And here Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak introduces the concept of hekera. Now, in the case of a korah that was placed more than 20 amos above the mavui, the problem with that korah is that it is lo shalta ba'ena, which means that the eye doesn't catch something that's very high up. And if the purpose of the korah is hekera, in other words, to make it obvious to the people walking in the mavui that it's a reshus hayachid, that's a separate entity, and it's not part of the reshus harabim, which spills into the mavui, they needed to have a korah in a way, a place that people would see the korah. And if it's above 20 amma, the premise is they won't see the korah. Rav, on the other hand, just again to put the entire sugya into perspective, like this is like a chazara, you know, Steve, you weren't here, but this is like a one-line chazara in the whole sugya that you missed, which we started on Sunday. Rav understands that the problem of Esrim Amma has to do with the Pesach HaHechal, the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pesach HaHechal was lower than, or up to, but not beyond 20 Amma. And that defines the concept of Pesach. Anything that's above 20 Amma is not called a Pesach. And Rav derived two conclusions. Number one, that if the Korah is above 20 Amma, it's not valid, because it means that the Pesach itself is above 20 Amma, and that means that it's not a Pesach, because it's not similar to the Pesach HaHechal. And secondly, if the width of the, by every mavui has two walls on the two sides, if the width between one wall and the other is more than 10 amos, once again, it doesn't lend itself to a mavui, because we're going to use heichal as our paradigm. And in the case of heichal, although the Torah speaks about the Pesach heichal being 20 amos, but that's not really so. It was really only 10 amos. There were certain curtains on the sides of the Pesach. So we have a 10 amma maximum width, and that's all based on the equation to heichal. Our shita now of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is a totally different shita. We're just simply we're taking this whole sugya that we've spent so much time on of equating Pesach Mavui with Pesach Heichal. We're just putting it on the back burner. Forget it. All you have to know is heker. So that's an introduction to the sugya that we're about to learn. The Mishnah at the beginning of Sukkah tells us that if the schach is above 20 amma, then the chachamim say that such schach is considered invalid, and you cannot be yotze the mitzvah of Sukkah in such a sukkah. The schach is too high; it's above 20 amma. Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah says no; it's okay even if the schach is above 20 amma. And that seems to be a repeat of what we have in our Mishnah at the beginning of Erevin, a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim about a Mavui which is above 20 Am, meaning the Korah was placed above 20 Am, the Chachom say it's not acceptable, you might, because there's no heker, people don't see it that high up, and Rav Yehuda's not bothered by that. People will strain their necks and they'll see it. So the Gemara is going to ask, well, why did the author of the Mishnayos, we'll say Rav Yehuda Nasi, why was he compelled to rewrite what he's already written? Right, Sukkah is coming down the line, but we're not up to Sukkah, we're up to Erevin. Already in Erevin, he set the framework for this machlokas between Chachom and Rav Yehuda. What's the deal with something that needs hekera and it's above 20 Amma? Why did Rav Yehuda Nasi feel compelled to rewrite that machlokas, recorded a second time in the Mishnah in Sukkah? Because offhand we would say that logically we could derive the conclusion that to the same extent the Chachom and Rav Yehuda argued in our Mishnah about a Korah that's above 20 Amma, they would argue about a Sukkah that's above 20 Amma. The Chachom would passel the Sukkah and Rav Yehuda would be Maksha the Sukkah. Now the Gemara at the beginning of Sukkah asks the question, my timer, why is it that the Rabbanon disqualify a Sukkah that's above 20 Amma? And the Gemara gives a number of different explanations. The one explanation that our sugya here in Erevin is focused on is the explanation that we derive it from the pasuk Leman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Besukos Hoshavti Yisbnei Yisrael. Leman Yedu means that the people sitting in the sukkah have to know. In other words, they have to be very well aware of the fact that they're sitting in a sukkah. They have to be aware of the schach. The schach is the sukkah. And that will trigger off in their minds a memory of Ki Besukos Hoshavti Yisbnei Yisrael, Botziel Miyutrayim. And if it's above Esrim Amma, there won't be a Leman Yedu. That's the way the Gemara interprets Chachamim, who say that a sukkah above 20 Amma is possible. There's no Leman Yedu. There's no awareness of the sukkah. The sukkah is too high up. Again, the sukkah means the schach. So why is it, once we have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who explains that the reason for the Chachamim, who disqualify Tikkun Mavui, in the case of a Mavui that's above Esrim Amma, you had a Korah that's above, is because of Akera, then we could already anticipate that the same sheet of the Chachamim in Mavui would apply to a Sukkah. Because just like a Mavui, the whole purpose of the Tikkun Mavui with the Korah is to get people aware of the fact that, hey, this is a set-off area, right? It's not part of the Rishus HaRavim. But they won't be aware of that because the Korah is above 20 Amma, then they won't be aware of the Schach if the Schach is above 20 Amma. Wow. So let's read the Gemara of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Ha nicha ilo svirle laha de Rabba. Right, Rabba, who's going to say Leman Yedu Dorosechem, that's going to be a real problem for Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, because we don't know why the Mishnah had to repeat itself. It could be, says the Gemara, that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak rejected Rabba. He has alternative explanations as to why Lamalabi Esrim Amma is possible. And that has to do with what's called a Dira. That, you know, normally a Dira is lower than Esrim Amma. You know, this is not, this is not so comfortable. If anybody has a Gemara Sukkah, I'll read it to you inside. I just didn't get a chance to bring a Gemara Sukkah here. Do you have a Gemara Sukkah in there, maybe? No. Next volume. Yeah. All right. You have to keep a small shas here. That's what we... But in the meantime, I'm going to just take a drink. Thank you so much. Have you ever heard of the concept called the Diras Aroy? As opposed to Diras Keva? Right, the Sukkah is meant to be a temporary dwelling place. And it's really interesting because on the one hand, we want to make it as comfortable as possible to live in the Sukkah, but yet we want the structure of the Sukkah to be what's called the Diras Aroy. And if I remember correctly, the Gemara is going to tell us at the beginning of Sukkah that a person does not build a Diras Aroy that is so high, that has the height of 20 Amos or more. So Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Minani Mili, how do we know that a sukkah above 20 amma is possible? Omar Rabba, and Rabba is going to be the shita that will occupy our minds here in Erevin. The Omar Kral, Aman Yedu Dorasechem, keep a sukkah so shafti is Bnei Yisrael. Ad Esrim Amma, Adam Yodeshu Dar Besukkah. Amalmi Esrim Amma, Enonim Yodeshu Dar Besukkah, Mishum Delo Shalta Be'ena. So the eye doesn't catch that which is higher than 20 amma. Rav Zera Amar, he has an alternative explanation. The source for the psul of Lamala Me'esrim in Sukkah is the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'sukkah tia litzel yomam, that the Sukkah, the Schach, should afford a shade from the sun. And he says, Ad Esrim Amma, Adam Yoshev Betzel Sukkah. You could say that when I sit in the sukkah and the schach is above my head and it blocks out the sunlight, so I sit in the shade of the sukkah, but that's only within Esramama. L'malame Esramama, Ein Adam Yoshev Betzel Sukkah. If there's any shade inside the sukkah, it's not a result of the schach, it's a result of the defanos, or the walls. Then the Gemara offers another explanation. Rav Amar Mihacha, Besukas Teshu Shivas Yomim. Amra Torah Kol Shivas Yomim Tzei Midiras Keva V'Shev Midiras Arroy Ad Esrim Amma Odom Osa Diras Odiras Arroy L'malam Esrim Amma Ein Odom Osa Diras Odiras Arroy El Diras Keva. You know, to make such a tall structure just for a temporary usage, that's not something that people are used to doing. So these are some of the Shitos over there in Sukkah L'malam Esrim Amma. Now Rav Nachman is free to accept any one of these alternatives. I mean, for example, if he would accept the explanation of Rav Zera that it's a problem of tzel, so then the Mishnah has to tell me in Sukkah, well, where up to what height of the schach do I get the tzel of the schach? Or he can hold like Rav, who says that we don't make a tall structure as a diras aroi, so we want to know up to what height, and then the Mishnah is justified. But if you have Rabba, if Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok would accept Rabba's shita, that the reason why a sukkah's psula l'mala v'yesim is because lo sholto ba'ena, so that's exactly what we just finished saying here in Mavui. So Gemara says, ha nicha, everything could work out. Ilo svir leila hadarabba. If Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok never accepted Rabba, and he had the alternative explanations, and then we had to know Esrim Amma and Sukkah because it's a diras keva, because it's not itzel schach. Ela isvir leila hadarabba. Tiyomar Rabba. Rabba explains why is that the Mishnah tells us that Gavami Esrim Amma is psul and Sukkah is because the chsiv malan yedu derosek yisukas o shaptis bnei Yisrael. And Ad Esrim Amma Adam Yodea Shuhudar Bisukkah. L'malam Esrim Amma Einonim Yodea Mishum Delo Shalta Ve'ela Eina. This is affecting Gemara. Alma Degavi Sukkah Nami Hekera Pligi. We have a repeat of the Machlokus between Rabbi Yudin and Chachom about Heker. That if it's L'malam Esrim Amma, the Chachom say there won't be Shalta Ve'ena, hence there's no Heker, there's no awareness of the Schach, which is exactly the case of the Korah. There's no awareness of the Korah. And iflugi betarte lomeli, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to repeat the Machlokas in two places? If according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok in Mavui and according to Rabba in Sukkah, the issue is one and the same in both Mavui and Sukkah, and that is the issue of Shalta Ba'ena, so we have Machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. So are we meant to therefore conclude that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok never accepted Rabba? He accepted either Rav Zera or Rava, but he cannot square off with Rabba, because then why did the Mishnah have to repeat the same machlokas twice? I mean, you see, Rav Osai, to what extent, you know, the concept of authoring Mishnayis has to be a bridge. And we all know why that's so. I mean, what would be gefelach if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would author a Mishnah that repeat, you know, and apply the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim of Mavui to the case of Sukkah? What would be so terrible about that? What, are they stingy on ink? Well, ink is expensive, but
contradiction in another sugya.
No, it's limited in terms of we're not supposed to write anything down.
Right. Because you're not allowed to commit Torah Malpeh to writing, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt that we would forget. But that's not so if there's an absolute mirror image between the two halachas.
In the Indian of Kefa Lashon, emphasize the point.
I don't think so. I don't think Kevin
reduced it. That was the point. The whole Mishnah is very cryptic for that very reason.
Right. That's called Chisuri Mechser. Well, what's Chisuri Mechser? You know, in Brisos, you could say, well, you know, there was a mistake in the transmission, but when you see a Chisuri Mechser on a Mishnah, and then the Gemara establishes that there are words missing in a Mishnah, that's not an oversight or a mistake in, somebody. Left out some words of the Mishnah. That's not what we're saying. Rebbe left out words of the Mishnah. And he left it out in a way that we could figure out from the logical deduction what those words should be. So it's not, just stinginess on ink. It's that every single letter, every single word that you're writing in Torah Shebal Peh is an Avera. It's Eis Lassel Shem Heferu Sorosecha. Here too, why would Rebbe feel compelled to repeat the same identical machlokas? Notice the names are the same. It's not coincidental that it's the Tanakhama against Rabbi Yehuda. They're both being consistent as to what extent is this Shalta Va'ena. The Gemara tells us that the bar into which the brothers threw Yosef was 20 amas deep. So the Tartmima says that both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim agree that you could see something that's 20 amos, but the machlokas is, do we have to sort of push it in your face? So the Chachamim say, we have to a little bit, we have to sort of, it's like fruit that I put in front of you, if you're fasting and I tempt you. So the 20 amos maximum height is because I have to draw your eye and attention. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, make the effort, put in a little more effort and you can see above 20 am or below 20 am in depth, and that's enough for that keira. But both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim agree to the Metzias that normally up to 20 am is after 20 am is lo shalta ba'ena. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, okay, but you have to admit to me, Chachamim, that if you push yourself, you can see above 20 am. It's not like all of a sudden your vision stops, is blocked, but you have to put in extra effort, and Rabbi Yehuda is not bothered by that. So the Torah Tamim points out that in the case of the Achim, why is it so important to know that it was 20 amos deep? Why did the Gemara have to make such a big deal about that? Because they didn't ki'ilu see that there were nechashim and akravim on the bottom of the bar. But had they made the extra effort, says the Torah Tamim, they could have seen that. And that's what they were guilty of, because they didn't care. They just wanted to get rid of Yosef. So the Gemara says, no, we can actually square off Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak with Rabba Utsricha and Rav Yehuda Nasi. When he wrote the Mishnayos, he needed both. And this is going to be a Trichusa, as always, in both directions. As we're going to say, if we only had the Mishnah in Mavui, we wouldn't have known Sukkah. If we only had the Mishnah in Sukkah, we wouldn't have known derived Mavui. Diash meaning Abi Sukkah. If we only had the Mishnah in Sukkah, Behakom Rav Yehuda. Here's where Rabbi Yehuda says that in the case of Sukkah, L'malam Yesru is fine. Kevan de Yeshiva Avida Shalta Ba'ena. When a person is sitting down in a dining room, so to speak, and he's eating a meal, his eyes tend to wander around. He wants to see his surroundings. So you're sitting in a Sukkah, hey, where's the Schach? So you make that extra effort and you stretch your neck. Says Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of the day, you'll see the Schach. Avol Mavui de Lehiluch Avid. Who's looking around the Mavui? Meaning you're on the road. You're running with your feet. You got to get to work in the morning, or get to shul in the morning, wherever you're going. and you're not going to start looking up as you're walking. You know, you might trip and fall. It's very dangerous. Right? The Gemara talks about Holchuba and Amushos, that older people always look down and they see what's on the ground. You know, you'll see people who have to walk with two sticks. Have you ever seen that? You know, two different sticks. You know, they're not looking up, they're looking down. So that's called Lehiluch of it. The Mavu is Lehiluch of it. So here Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree that we have to push the Korah, so to speak, into his face. You know, we have to really figure out a way that he would stop dead in his tracks as he's running to Shul and notice the Mavui, and notice the Korah. Is Eba Modulul Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda would certainly be Mod in the case of Mavui, that if it's Esrim Amo, then it's not a Korah, it's not a, there's no Akera because he's on the move, he's running, he's not going to stop and notice the Korah unless you really make it accessible, you know, put it within his eyes reach. So we need the Mishnah of Mavui to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil, he's lenient, even in the case of Mavui, even though it's Lehiluch of it. Now let's go the other way around, the Tzrichus in the opposite direction, Iyashmin and Baha. What if we only had the Mishnah of Mavui, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Lamalami Esrim is fine for a Korah to be Metakin of Mavui, even though it's Lehiluch of it? How much more so, it goes without saying, then in the case of Sukkah, you sit in the Sukkah, you look around, you look up, you look down, you look to this. Certainly, Rabbi Yehuda will be Machshir the Sukkah of its Levala B'Yesim. Ah, but here we're worried about the Chachamim Shita. If we only had the case of Mavui, the Hakami Rabbanon. Here's where the Rabbanon said that since you're running through the Mavui, Lehiluch Ka'avi, you're not going to notice a Korah that's what? That's above Esrim Amo. Avol Bahach, but in the case of Sukkah, you're sitting in the Sukkah, you're looking around, Aim I might think, Module L'Rabbi Yehuda. Here they would agree that under the Pasuk of Amad Yehudu Dorasechem, the eye, when you're sitting in a Sukkah, you're looking there, you're looking up and down and so forth, so you'll notice the Schach, even if it's above Esrim Amo. Tzricha, therefore I need the Mishnah in Sukkah to teach me that the Chachamim would still insist that the Gova, the height of the Sukkah and the Schach, has to be up to but not above Esrim Am. So let's just go over this again. We need both the Mishnah in Sukkah and the Mishnah in Erev, in Mavu. If we only had the Mishnah in Sukkah, we would not know Rav Yehuda Shita in the case of Mavui, which is Lehiluch Ka'avi. Maybe there Rav Yehuda would say we have to lower the Mavui, the Korah, and it's L'shalto Ba'ein above Esrim Amo, because he's walking, running through the Mavui. He's not going to notice the Korah if it's so high up. So here there's a Chiddush in our Mishnah in Mavui for Rav Yehuda that we wouldn't have if we only had the Mishnah in Sukkah. And the Kamashmalan of our Mishnah here in Mavui is that Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? Even in the case of Mavui, he'll somehow be aware of the Korah above Esrim Am. I'm almost tempted to think that maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there are a few people. You know, let's break down the population into Rov and Mir. You know what I mean? Rov and Mir, like 58 against 52, let's say, right? So there's a Rov of 52. That's not a good Rov, 52, actually. I mean, 58. But you never know, miracles might happen, I don't know. Otherwise, did they announce the date yet for the next election? We're only at 58. Anyway. So it could be.
I'm trying to figure out how
58
and 52 equals
100,
but
no.
Right.
Now
you get it.
Now I get it. Yeah. It's the 120.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem, Don, your head is not on that, so I applaud you. You know, the big word today, these are the two big words of the news: quarantine and defector. And what's it called? Defectors? Is that how you say it?
Defectors.
Like, those are the two, you know, two main words in the Israeli news.
One should diminish and the other should increase.
Very good. That's right. We should have less quarantine and more defectors, right? Yeah. Anyway. Maybe we'll put the defectors into quarantine. Okay, fine. It's getting really corny.
Okay.
But the best thing is not to watch the news. That's the best dates I can give anybody. But, you know, we have to know what's going on. So, Abosai, here's the deal. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda realizes that a person who's behiluch, you know, he's running through the mavui, is not going to notice a korah that's 20 amos or higher up on top. But Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, let's look at the minority. You know, there's a silent minority of people who walk slowly. You know, they're leisurely, they're not in such a big rush. They get there on time. You know, how many people could say about that, that they get there on time? And that's enough to make it into a hekker. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I only need part of the population to set up a hekker. If that part of the population is hekker, for them, that gives the korah a status of hekera. You understand what I mean? The korah takes on a new identity. It's something that creates hekera. It doesn't have to create hekera for everybody. You'll never get a situation of hekera for everybody. You always have an absent-minded professor, you know, that walks into a poll and says, excuse me, you know, he's not going to notice no matter how low the thing is, right? So that's Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, that explains why we need the Mishnah in Mavui. Why do we need the Mishnah in Sukkah once we have the Mishnah in Mavui? L'chora, we have now a beautiful Kal v'chomer. If Rabbi Yehuda would hold that, you can set up a Keira even if somebody is behiluch in through the Mavui, and therefore the Lamala Miestrim is kosher, how much more so in Sukkah, when he's sitting there in the Sukkah leisurely, Keshrut Keitaduru, he's having a wonderful time in the Sukkah, he'll have an opportunity to look up, he's not rushing through, and yet Rabbi Yehuda, even the case where he's rushing through the Mav, he says it's a Keira. So Gemara says that we need the Mishnah in Sukkah to tell Sechidish of the Chachamim. We would think that the Chachamim pasul a korah l'mala mi'esrim in Mavui because it's behiluch, but in the case of Sukkah he's the yeshiva, then even the Rabbanim might agree that l'mala mi'esrim could be kosher like Rabbi Yehuda because it will be sholta ba'ema. Now I'm thinking out loud before we move on to the next Gemara. Why is it that the Chachamim cannot accept Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Sukkah? After all, Rabbi Yehuda's argument seems to be a very strong argument. The Gemara even had a Havamina that if we didn't have the Mishnah in Sukkah, we would have accepted that argument of Rabbi Yehuda. Even the Chachamim would have been on board that since it's B'Yeshiva, he's sitting in the Sukkah, he will notice the Schach. And again, we're going to Rabbah. Now, again, there are many other ways of explaining why a Sukkah L'mala Mi'esrim is possible, but now we're going to Rabbah, and we're trying to make a harmony between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rabbah. So I'm wondering, is it possible that there are two different halachas in the Chachamim's frame of reference? That there's a difference between Hekera and Laman Yedu. Meaning that although the bottom line is the same, and Lamala Mi'esrim is Posel Sai in the case of a Korah for a Mavui, and Sai in the case of a Schach for Sukkah, but for two different reasons. Because in the case of Mavui, it's Lehiluch, and therefore Lo Shalta Ba'ena. That I understand. The Hekera element is completely diminished and very, very low and weak on the totem pole. I wouldn't say it's zero because otherwise I don't understand Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a silent minority, a very narrow membership of the population would be able to see a Korah that's so high up while they're running through the Mavui. But perhaps in the case of Schach, there's a different kind of halacha. Let me explain what I mean. I'll give you an example of what I mean. You and I know that a Sefer Torah has to be treated with Kedusha, correct? Mm-hmm. So somebody asked Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know who had the chutzpah to ask him this question, I never would have had the chutzpah to ask him. He asked him, what's the status of the Israeli flag? Interesting question. Does the Israeli flag have Kedusha? Like, let's say Chas V'Shalom, I would take an Israeli flag and start stomping on it.
Because of what it is, or because of the colors
of the talis, etc. Well, I don't know about the colors of the talis. I'm not sure that the Israeli flag exactly is tchelis. That depends upon how you define tchelis. But I just want to tell you one thing. The Rav took that question seriously. He didn't laugh it off. And I'll give you his answer in just a minute, but before you get to the answer, the Rav was wondering, how do you define a flag? You have to be very abstract, to think in these terms. Rav Soloveitchik saw in every physical object, some abstract issue.
We had flags in Bamidbar.
Correct. So how do you define a flag? The purpose and the goal of a flag is to arouse within the seer some sort of inspiration, some sort of concept, idea, ideal, attributes. And you mentioned the Degolim, like the Midrashim say that each Degol had some sort of a message that was reflective of the attributes and the responsibility of that particular Shevet. Or no. The flag itself is important. Again, it may be important because it inspires you, but at the end of the day, there's inherent significance in the flag. So the first definition was that a flag is nothing. A flag is only meant to inspire you. The inspiration is what we're interested in. The flag is just a hechetimtza. So if you have a person who's in charge of, telling the locomotives, drivers, don't go now here because there's another train coming the other way, so he waves a flag. I mean, that flag is only meant to convey a message. There's no significance to the flag. In a Sefer Torah, lahavdil, there's kedusha inherent in the Sefer Torah, the dyo, the klaf, the ksiva lishma, the Askaras of Hashem, and everything else. But in a flag could be, and hopefully will be, an inspiration. But there's nothing inherent in the flag. No Kedusha whatsoever. It's just a means to an end. Or no, there's inherent significance to the flag. The Rav went on to say, an unbelievable chiddush, I don't want to start crying because I get very emotional about this. And he said that the status of a flag in halacha, and I'm not sure again if he paskin this lemaisa, but that's what he felt, had the same status as Big Day Hames Beharuge Malchus. What does that mean? The law is that if a Jew is chas v'shalom murdered or he dies in battle for the sake of his people, then we bury his begadim. We bury not just his body, but also his clothes. Because the clothes are saturated with dam. And that dam is the dam of Mesiris Nefesh. So the Rav wanted to make an equation that look how many people we lost because of the Israeli flag. And he felt that the Israeli flag is saturated with Jewish blood and it has the Kedusha of Haruge Malchus. It's unbelievable. Again, I'm not telling you this was his final maskana, but he definitely was inclined in that direction. So I'm wondering, again, just that was all just the L'Saver Sa'ozim. What is the status of a Korah? And what is the status of Schach and Sukkah? Yesh L'chalik. In the case of a Korah, the Korah has no significance whatsoever. If somebody would take down the Korah and start stomping on it, it would not be a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. They say about the Chassam Sofer that a student applied to his yeshiva in Prezburg and apparently had a very good reputation, and the Chassam Sofer rejected it. This was Erev Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. The main zman in yeshiva starts after Sukkot. And I don't know exactly how they pressed the Chassam Sofer on this. Once again, I don't know who is the Chutzpah Nyak to ask him, But he explained why he rejected him. He says, I watched him when he left the yeshiva. There was schach on the ground, and he stumbled on the schach. He doesn't belong in our yeshiva. Now, halachically, there's no sanctity to schach after the mitzvah is gone. That's called tashmishe mitzvah. Kevin shenasis mitzvah, so that's it. You can throw it in the rubbish and so forth. But yet the Chassam Sofer felt that even though al pidin strictly, the schach loses its status. It's no longer lashem for the mitzvah. But nevertheless, it had that status just a few minutes ago. How can you stumble on it? But kol shekein v'kal v'chomer in schach that's on the top of your sukkah, it has sanctity. It's kadosh l'mitzvos. Not so in a mavon. Not so in a korah. Korah is just a flag, like the flag I mentioned of the locomotive conductor. You know, don't go down this track. Go on this track, because this is dangerous. It's only meant to convey a message. The message of the Korah is Teidalcha, this is a Rishus HaYochid. It's not a Rishus HaRab. So it could be that when the Rabbanan say that Lamala Mi Esrim is Posel in Sukkah, Laman Yedid Dorosechem, that's Halach in the Schach. The Schach itself, in order to get a status as something that's part of the entity called the Sukkah, and that the Schach is really the key to create a Sukkah, you need Esrim Amo. That's not just a halacha of a flag, of conveying a message. And therefore, even though you're sitting in the sukkah, and maybe, you know, in the ambiance and the comfort of sitting in your sukkah, hopefully the sukkah is comfortable. I'm not talking about Toronto. I told you the first thing that Zahava Zlotnik told me when I got to Toronto is that she's been 7 years, she married Yosef Zlotnik. She hasn't been in the sukkah in 7 years. That's how cold it was in Toronto. But let's say here in Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, I mean, we've had some rains lately, the last couple of years we've had, but, you know, in all my years in Yerushalayim, it's very rare that we get rain in sukkahs. So it's so geschmack, so I'm going to start looking around, and I'm having a great time, I'm going to look up at the schach. But nein, the chachomim hold that there's a loch of Esrim Amo. We find it by Pesach HaHechal, that there's a loch that's got to be up to Esrim Amo. Esrim Amo now becomes a shiur, it's a definition of schach. When is the schach part of a sukkah? When it's within Esrim Amo. So we see the schach as part of the structure of the sukkah. So the Laman Yedu is only a means to an end, the goal of which is to set up a shiur in schach. And now if the schach is above Esrim Amo, it's not schach. I wouldn't say that about a korah. A korah l'mal b'esrim, you might, you know, just lower it down a little bit. There's nothing wrong, you know, there's no psul that's chal in the Korah. It's not the Korah has a separate chal shem din. And in fact, I'm wondering the following. Let's say you had a sukkah that was 20 amah high plus, and you put schach on it. What would be if, again, I don't know, you'll help me work out the mitzias of it, but if he chopped down the bottom of the sukkah, you know, somehow he would lower the sukkah, would the schach be kosher? What would you say? In Korah, there's no question about it. If you can lower the height of the mavui, the Korah is up there, it's now below Esrim Amo, it's certainly kosher.
You have to take it off and put it back.
Excellent. What's that called? I want to see if you have the Talmud Chacham quotes the halacha. It's called Tasev Alo Min HaOsim. And basically, in our terminology, what that means is that you have to create a shem schach. You can't create a shem schach because you lowered the sukkah. You have to create a shem schach because you put the schach on the sukkah. That's called Tasev. But you didn't put the schach on the sukkah because what you put on the sukkah l'mal v'esru was not schach. It's just a bunch of foliage, but it's not schach. So by cutting down the sukkah, you can't create schach, because tasa, you have to set up the schach. But sukkah's tasu, it says in the pasuk. Sukkah's tasu, lochem. That would certainly not apply to a korah, because there's no dinim or status to the korah. The korah is just meant as a flag to convey hekera. Hey, look at me. I'm not a rishus hayochid, I'm a rishus harabim. That's all the korah is meant to do. All right, let's go on. Now, you remember from yesterday, we had an entity called an Amaltara. So I showed you one picture. Actually, he's got a whole bunch of colored pictures here of what an Amaltara is. There are many, many different opinions about what an Amaltara is. In conceptual terms, Amaltara is something that will catch your eye despite its height. There's something so beautiful, so attractive, so unusual about it that you will see it even above 20 amah. Again, according to Rav, that's not relevant. The Heichal itself had an Amaltara, and yet it had to be lower than 20 amahs of a Pesach. Because Rav learns Mavli from Pesach HaHeichal, but we're going to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and he holds that the whole deal of Esther Mama in Mavli is only for the purpose of what? Of Heker. So in the case of Amaltara, that's called a Heker. So what were these, you know, these attractive additions or embellishments of the Korah that would solve your problem of Lamala Miesr Mama, that would mitigate in the case of Lamala Miesr Mama, Maya Maltara? Now here at Bosai, the Hebrew translation that I have of the Gemara is very difficult for me. You have to be Israeli for this. I'll read some of it. But is there anyone here who could read this in English as we go through this? If you have an art scroll? Mm-hmm. All right, so keep your art scroll handy. I'll give you, bless you, I'll give you the buzz. I'll give you the buzz, okay? Rav Chama Berei de Rabba Bar Avua Omar Kine. And then I'll just read the words. Ki Osar Avdimi Omar Amri Bamarova Piske the Arza. Now, one thing I can tell you, this I know through my wife's work, that the word Arza or Erez is called a cedar tree. So you'll see if Art Scroll agrees with me. If he doesn't, I'm in trouble. But let's just see. But first, we'll talk about Kine. Now, Kine is called a bird's nest, right? A Kan Sipar. You remember that from the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan? So the mother bird will create a kan, and apparently what they did was, again you'll tell me what the art scroll says, but I think what's happening here is they made a certain kind of a shape and they put it on top of the korah, and it was an unusual kind of shape. You know, you look up and all of a sudden you see something that looks like a bird's nest. So the Hebrew here is, as I said, a little bit challenging, but let's see what the English says.
It says that a nest designed to live is designed by cedar poles.
Say it again, please.
Oh, wait, the nest itself is... Are you sure you're not combining two different things? Yeah. So I think the cedar is the next opinion. We're learning Rav Chama.
It says the korah is embellished with cornices or designs. Sufficient attention will be drawn to the korah that it should be deemed valid even if it's higher than the 20 amah.
Oh, so the word is cornices?
Cornices, yes.
Ah, so it's interesting. My wife uses that word a lot in her work. I don't know. She uses Dafka this word cornice, but I think
it looks like a bird's nest. It says.
Yeah, that I understand, but I just want to tell you what the word cornice means in general. Have you ever seen? Maybe you have it in your apartments. There's a strip that goes up from the ceiling down for 2 inches, 3 inches. It could be 6 inches, and it has a design on it.
Yes.
That's called cornices in modern Hebrew. What's that called in English? It has an English word for it.
Apparently it's cornice.
What?
It's cornice.
It's called that in English as well?
Yeah. According to Rabbi Google, that's what it is.
Yeah, there should be another word for it. But in design...
You mean like a frieze?
Maybe it's called a frieze?
Like it has a design on the thing, it's called a frieze.
Mm-hmm. Right, oh. Yeah, that's far from the French, I think, yeah. Like a fresco.
Same word in Greek and in French and in Latin. Mm-hmm.
No, it has the same word. Right. But again, in modern design, it's very common that you have it around, not on the ceiling, but below the ceiling, but all the way around the room. And it really adds a lot of beauty to the room. Now, why did they make it in the shape of a bird or a bird's nest? That defies my understanding. In this picture, for some reason they drew it with a bird on it. Now I don't know, the Gemara says it was a nest, it was a kid, but he, I don't know. So I have a cache on the tziur, on the picture. But anyway, now we get to the second explanation. That's what Osher, you were talking about before, okay, about the poles of cedar. Am I right?
Yeah.
What does he call it? This is Rav Diemen.
Cedar poles.
Everybody knows what cedar poles is.
Sure.
So it's one of the five towns. Oh no, that's Cedarhurst. Okay. Anyway, so we have a town called Cedar Poles. Okay, Cedar Poles. Sounds good, Cedar Poles. Okay. Sounds a little communist with cedar poles. Anyway. All right. So this is cedar poles. All right. Now again, the cedar poles, according to what I have here in my translation, are very, very long. And he has a whole discussion about the length of these poles. And apparently the eye is drawn to something that's very, very long in this case. So in the first case of Rav Chama, you're talking about an interesting shape that catches your eye. In the case of Rav Dimi, we're talking about something that's very long. He calls it Tchuvos Bekotel Uboltos, and they really project, he says here in the name of the Aruch, that the Koros Shel Erez Hayukvuos Bekosel Hamovui Leorech HaKosel Ad HaPesach Samach LeKoro. You get the impression that these poles were actually attached to the Kosle Amovui. Like we said, Amovui has two walls on its right side, its left side also has a wall at the end, you know, to cut it off from the other exit to Rishus HaRabim. And what they would do is they would place these poles, so to speak, attach them to the walls, and the pole went up the height of the wall, and it reached all the way to the Korah. So the eye is sort of drawn by these cedar poles to look up until you finally see the Korah. That's according to the Aruch. I'm not saying everybody agrees to the Aruch, but that's the way the Aruch understands it. Then he quotes a Rashba, and the Rashba says that Amaltra Eina Meshameshet Bimkom HaKorah. Don't think for a moment that these poles can serve as a replacement for Korah. We still need a Korah. But what they do, these poles, they accomplish the goal that even if the Korah is above 20 Amah, nevertheless, you could be machshir the Korah through the Amaltar. So again, the Amaltar is just a, you know, if we discussed before about the concept of a flag or a conduit, the Amaltar itself is just a conduit to bring your eye to and lead your eye towards the Korah. Now, believe it or not, the Gemara thinks that there's actually a machlokas here between Rav Chama and Rav Dimi, which means that what kind of an addition of a sort of structural addition to the Korah would mitigate if it's Lamala Miesrim, and there are two different opinions. So Gemara says that there's really only one machlokas. It's not a two-way machlokas. You know, you have a two-way street and a one-way street. It's a one-way street. Why? The Gemara assumes that this shape of the nest of birds as an amaltara is even more effective than the poles. Maybe because the cedar poles, if I take the aruch for example, they go from the ground. It's not something that attaches to the korah. But in the case of kine, which is Rav Chama, we're talking about something that actually attaches to the korah. And it gives the Korah a certain chashivas, if you will, and it arouses the curiosity of one who looks at it, and he'll be, you know, the ayin, he's Moshech as ayin even above Esrim Amma. But on the other hand, the cedar poles, which are called Piskei Diara, the Arza, they don't really change the Korah per se, so it's not so profound and effective. But the other way around, that's where we're going to have a machlokas. And that is Mandi Omar Kine, Amal Piske the Arza, Lo. But according to the first Mandi Omar, who said Kine, he's not willing to accept Piske the Arza. So again, if you start with Piske the Arza, how much more so Kine, because Kine is even more profound of a change. It's something that's Ma'orer Tmias Halev Shal Roemos, Sovehe Moshkin Isa'ayin. And that's Hekera for the Korah. But the case of Piskei the Arza, that's even a bigger chiddush of Rav Dimi, that even Piskei the Arza is enough. But the first man, the Omer Rabbi Chama, he would reject Piskei the Arza. So the Gemara now goes into this discussion about Piskei the Arza, these cedar poles. The Gemara asks, Uman di Omar Piskei the Arza my taima. Why does he maintain that even in the case of the cedar poles that sort of jut out from this kosel, that's enough to effectively qualify or validate the korah that's above Esrim Amo? And he says, Mishum de Nafish Moshe. He says, only because these poles are very, very long. And the length of the poles itself are Dora Matmiya. That's what causes Tmiya Saleh. the last thing you expect to see when you look at the kosel of a Mavui is that you should find a pole attached to it from a cedar tree that's very, very long. And I'm looking for the note, which I'm not finding now, about the length of the cedar pole. Do you have something there about the length of the cedar pole? Maybe it's going to come. I know I saw it when I prepared the Gemara. Now I'm not finding it. What does he say?
11 amos.
Oh, excellent. 11 amos.
Yeah, right.
So, you're talking about a major pole. It's even taller than Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway. So he says, Vasukha. Dinafish Mashke Vika Amri Rabbanon Dilo. Oh, we're finally getting to the Gemara that I was waiting for. And that is a comparison between Mavui and Sukkah. Right? We said that according to Chachamim, in both those cases, Lamalami Esrim is possible. But now the Gemara wants to know, are those two halachas identical? In other words, is it fair to say that for reason X, a korah is possible in a mavi above 20, and schach is possible above 20. Is it the same reason X? Is it all one din? If it's one din, there should be no nafkaminas between the two. Now, the case of sukkah is by definition an amaltera, according to Rav Dimi. Why? Because Rav Dimi says that what's your definition of a malter that makes a korah effective above 20? It's Piskei the Arza, because of these poles that are very, very long and very tall. Well, take a look at the sukkah. The sukkah is made up of many long poles. Again, our sukkahs maybe didn't look exactly like their sukkahs. We have mostly, dikdim, what we call. A dikd is like a wall almost. But He says the reason why, according to Rav Dimi, you can be machshir the mavui that's above, that the korah is above 20 am, is because of these piskei the arza, the nafish moshe. Nafish means they're very long, and that moshe means they draw the eye. Vasukka the nafish moshe. Sukkah is also called nafish because it's very, very tall. Moshe, why isn't the height of the sukkah, as you look from the bottom of the sukkah all the way up, your eye catches, look how tall is this sukkah. Right? That's probably the first thing you do when you walk into a sukkah. You say, oh, look how tall it is, or look how not tall it is, right? Right, a sukkah has to be pent fucking high. I mean, that's probably the size of this table. You know what I'm saying? It's not very tall. The Iriyah here is every year. I don't know, last year I didn't go, but usually I go. They have a sukkah that's open to the public, and it's really a beautiful sukkah. It's in Kikar Safra, what's called Safra.
Yeah.
So there, the sukkah is massive. It's like very, very tall. That's the first thing you notice. Hopefully it's not above Esrim Amo. The Ka'ami Rabbanan Dolo. And yet the Rabbanan say, in this case of a sukkah, if it's Lamal Esrim Amo, it's not kosher. Ella, the Gemara says, came into Kachashiv Islay Kola. In other words, you know, the poles that you use to build your sukkah are just regular, ordinary poles. There's nothing special about them. But cedar poles are very expensive. It's very chashuv. You know, the cedar tree is, I think it's supposed to be one of the most powerful trees that we have. They're very old also, cedar trees. I think I read somewhere once that to plant a cedar tree, it takes 13 years until it grows. I think I read such a thing. Anyway, islay kala means, you know, people are talking about it. They're schmoozing about it. Look at these beautiful poles that are so, so tall. And they're made of cedar, which is so rare and so expensive. And because everybody's talking about it, and everyone is nispoil, therefore it creates a heker. But not so in the case of sukkah. So at this point in the Gemara seems to be equating schach and korah. The only difference is that in certain cases, you have an amaltera which would make it or facilitate a person seeing the korah even above esramama, but in sukkah you don't have that. But in the next Gemara, the Gemara is actually going to make a difference between korah, a conscious between korah and what? Korah and schach. Because the Gemara is going to ask, what happens? So this is an introduction to Yom Rishon of Mitzvah Hashem. What happens if you have a korah that's half below Esra Mama, but the top half of the korah is above Esra Mama? What if you have schach, and you have, let's say, layers of schach, and part of the schach is below Esra Mama, and part of the schach is above Esra Mama? And the Gemara is going to argue that in korah, the fact that part of it is below Esra Mama is enough. The first Gemara thinks maybe we're more makel because it's only Darabanan, whereas sukkah is Doraisa, we have to be more machmir. But then the Gemara sets up a fundamental distinction between the two. And I think that has to do with the fact, as we said before, that whereas the Korah in a Mavli is just a means to an end, you know, it's meant to convey a message, the Schach has its own inherent dinim. It's got a Chal Shem Schach. All right. Take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos.